The Ticket. Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Monday, everybody. It's Monday, June 5th, 2023. This is the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050. WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. It's been 1,283 days since Ohio State last beat Michigan on the football field. And as we broadcast live from the Ann Arbor studios of Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. Excited that this is Wolverine weekend week. Obviously, coming up on Friday, we will head up to Grand Traverse Resort. We've got the, although I don't think I will be there in time. I'm trying, but I have an outing in the morning and an event, so I'm not sure I can get there in time for the Woodson Whiskey and Wine Tasting event Friday night at Airy Restaurant and Lounge upstairs on the 16th floor at Grand Traverse Resort. Hoping to make it up there in time for the end of that, but not sure I can get up there. But we, it's a great kickoff event for the weekend. It's going to be a really fun weekend. Saturday, a fairly relaxing day up north, right? You can spend time in Traverse. If you want to go to downtown Traverse City, if you want to maybe get some swings in, or if you want to maybe go to the spa, whatever you'd like to do, go to the pool. It's going to be a really nice day on Saturday. At least that's the at last check in the forecast. You can relax during the day, and then we have the meet and greet with the Michigan football players, followed by the dinner program, which involves Devin Gardner, John U. Bacon, Sam Webb, and, of course, those Michigan football players, Donovan Edwards, Will Johnson, Colson Loveland, Junior Colson, and Makari Page. So five Michigan Wolverine football players current, one former Michigan Wolverine football player as well, plus John U. Bacon, Sam Webb, myself. Going to be a lot of fun that Saturday dinner program. Then on Sunday, we have live radio in the morning, live from the right outside the clubhouse, overlooking the golf course. And then we will follow that up with, of course, the 9 a.m. shotgun start on the Wolverine golf course. And, man, that's this weekend. Really excited about it. Really excited to get up north. It's a really big golf weekend. Got an outing with Concordia on Friday. Next Monday, a week from today, is the Swing to Cure Diabetes golf outing with Rich Hewlett. So a really big golf weekend coming up with a lot of benefiting a lot of different people, whether it's obviously Concordia and their student-athletes, the NIL participating members of the of Wolverine Weekend, and then, of course, at for Swing to Cure Diabetes, all the great work that Rich Hewlett's group does. So excited about this week. Excited to get to the countdown to the Michigan football season in just a moment, but got to pass this along. A proud dad moment from, was this Saturday, I think? Maybe it was yesterday. Either way, I had the a little bit, I was watching some golf. The Memorial was on, and the Memorial's taking place in Muirfield Village in just outside Columbus. So, right, it's Jack Nicklaus's home course. And so Gracie walks in the room, sees the Memorial on TV and says, "Ooh, golf, where are they playing?" And I said, "Just outside the worst city in the world." And Gracie, with no hesitation, says, "Ew, Columbus." Proud dad moment. I was watching a little golf on TV on Saturday. But it is now time for the countdown to the 2023 Michigan football season. We are counting down to the noon kickoff on September 2nd, Michigan versus East Carolina at the Big House in 89 days for the two-time back-to-back Big Ten champion Michigan football program. Had a chance. They got their rings over the weekend, and really cool. If you haven't seen the rings, a lot of different people, including Aaron Bills, posting some great pictures of the rings online. I had a chance on Saturday to try on the ring and check out the case that they are in. So, obviously, really shiny. The front has two Big Ten championship trophies on it. It says back-to-back champions. One of the sides of the rings has Wolverines 2021 and 2022 playoff semifinal with the it's got the Big Ten championship game score above it. It's got the playoff participation on the side of the ring. And then on the other side of the ring, it has your name. It has, you know, whoever's got the ring, it has that person's name. It says 13 wins, has the winged helmet on it, and it says Mish-again. It's a really cool ring, needless to say. And I believe it's the Ohio State score on the other side of the ring. That's the one part that I didn't take a picture of, but it's a really cool ring. The players got their rings. Their families were in town for a big celebration, so saw a lot of things on social media from players and their families. Had a chance to check out my neighbor's ring, which is really cool. And then it comes in this really nice box that when you open it up, it lights up, and so it highlights those rings that are in there. And for those that are on the team for 2 years in a row, there's space in that box for two rings. It's really cool. They definitely did a great job celebrating the championship, and as far as putting the rings together and putting the whole thing together for the players, and then the event over the weekend to celebrate those championships. Really cool, as they are now 89 days away from getting ready to start that next run, trying to win a third straight Big Ten championship. I'm not a big fan of, except in boxing, I guess in wrestling too, but in boxing, I'm not a big fan of saying the defending champion, because in reality, you're not defending your championship, right? You defend a belt in boxing, right? Because if you lose that belt and it goes to somebody else. If Michigan loses a game, they don't lose their title from last year. So they're not defending it. They are attempting to repeat for a third time. And, well, I guess repeat for the second time, but win it for a third time. And they're looking for that three-peat. And obviously they know, we've heard from some of the players over the last few weeks. And we played some of that audio from JJ's camp from some of those guys. They know how much work they have to put in. They've put in that work, and they know that that's not enough to get what they want done, because the amount of work they've put in has only gotten them so far. So they know how much work they have to put in. They're working hard, and workouts have begun. The team is getting ready to roll. And as I said, every day it seems like there's something new that gets me fired up for Michigan football, whether it was a really good weekend, really good visit, it sounds like, from Josh Wallace, whether it's the rings being handed out, the beginning of the workout season, getting ready for Wolverine weekend. All these things kind of just get me that much more excited as we are 89 George Sihamel days away until the start of the Michigan football season. So one of my favorite stories in the entire countdown to the Michigan football season is the number 89, the George Sihamel story. Born and raised in Chicago, he was an all-city quarterback at Lindblom High School. He enrolled in Michigan in 1939, and he was a quarterback for the Wolverines from 1940 through 1942, about 6 foot, about 185 to 190 pounds. In 1940, he backed up Forrest Evashevsky, who, of course, was Tom Harmon's quarterback. He played a little bit that season, and, quote, George Sihamel has ended Michigan's two-year search for a capable substitute for Forrest Evashevsky. Sihamel, a 190-pound sophomore, turned in a fine performance calling signals and blocking for the Wolverines against Pennsylvania. He won the Morton Meyer Award that season, which is given to the underclassman who shows the greatest development and most promise as a football player. He started at quarterback and on defense in 1941 and 1942 for Fritz Kreisler, who later called him, quote, the smartest player that he ever taught. George Sihamel was captain and all Big Ten in 1942. What made the 1942 Michigan football season interesting was the great spirit shown by a club that lacked bench strength. The Wolverines had to play up to 8 men both ways every Saturday, yet they finished with a 7-3 record. 3 years later, Coach Fritz Kreisler invented two-platoon football in a futile attempt to wear down the superior Blanchard Davis Army team at Yankee Stadium. And from that time on, Iron Man football became a memory that not too many of today's fans will remember. In the backfield, George Sihamel at quarterback and Bob Wiese at fullback rarely took a breather. And that came from Lyle Nelson's Chrysler's 42 Ironman in Volume 11, Number 3, in May 1998 of the College Football Historical Society newsletter.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I've actually, you know, in all these years, I've never actually really looked up beyond that one episode, that one part that I read. I've never really looked up the College Football Historical Society newsletter. I bet you this is Volume 11, Number 3. I bet you there's some really interesting stories in there. I should dig that up a little bit. That story in itself is a great quote there from Chris Chrysler's 1942, because it talks about the history that Michigan football sets over the course of the next few years. Ironman football eventually goes away, right? Because those Blanchard Davis teams at Army were so good. The Army teams were stacked during the war years, and Chrysler needed to keep his guys fresh, or tried to keep his guys fresh anyway. Anyway, back to the George Sihamel story. We are back to 1942, George Sihamel was named captain of Wirt Gammon's 1942 All-American blocking team, whatever that is. And in January 1943, Sihamel was a starter for the East All-Stars in the 1943 East-West Shrine Game. He intercepted three passes in the game and helped the East win the game 13-12. We talked about this last week. Those All-Star games used to be, they're now a big deal more so for scouting and getting ready for the NFL draft. Those All-Star games back in the day were a really big deal. East-West Shrine Game, and there were a few others that, when you look back on it, probably were not broken down or put in uniforms in the best way. Probably not a great idea in hindsight to have a North-South Blue-Gray All-Star game. But that's neither here nor there in 2023 in this conversation anyway, maybe for another conversation. George Sihamel was the 19th player taken in the 1943 NFL draft. He was taken in the third round by the Brooklyn Dodgers. That's another thing that I notice in these countdowns when I get back to some of these old older players. He was the 19th player taken, but it was a third round pick. I was recently, I think I was putting notes together for this coming weekend when we're up north, and one of the players was taken, I think, 40th overall, and he was like a fifth round draft pick. So context matters, right? Whether you're a first, second, or fifth round pick, depending upon what number you were taken. But Sihamel was the 19th player taken. He was a third round pick of the Brooklyn Dodgers, but he declined the NFL and joined the Navy, where he reached the rank of lieutenant. He participated in the January 1944 landing at Anzio Beach and the June 1944 D-Day landing at Normandy. He worked for Ford and in 1946 played in an All-Star game with Tom Harmon versus the NFL champion Rams and won 16-0. He intercepted a pass off Kenny Washington in the fourth quarter of the game to stop a late drive by the Rams. That summer, the Lions tried to trade for him, but he chose not to play pro football. In March 1947, Fritz Kreisler hired Sihamel to return to Michigan as an assistant coach, first coach in the JV squad, but then promoted to backfield coach. He was an assistant coach on the 1947 and 48 championship teams that went over those 2 years, 19-0, outscored their opponents those years, 646-97. And then in 1949, the Michigan yearbook credited Sihamel as being, quote, the man behind the famous Michigan single wing attack, end quote. He stayed at Michigan as an assistant through 1952, so he coached under Chrysler and then under Benny Ustrabon as well. And while staying out in Southern California for the Rose Bowl that 47-48 year, he met Joan Kalmbach, a graduate of Pasadena City College and a former Rose Bowl Queen semifinalist. She was a USC supporter who was working for radio station in L.A., KXLA. The two became acquainted on a pre-bowl trip to Catalina Island, and then he proposed to Kalmbach on New Year's Eve, the night before Michigan beat USC 49-0, and then they were married in Ann Arbor in April of 1948, 4 months after they met. Just a really cool story. In 1953, Sihamel moved with his wife and son, George W., back to L.A. after accepting a position as the backfield coach for USC. And here's the story from that one from the L.A. Times. Having lost badly to Michigan single-wing offense in 1948, USC head coach Jess Hill told reporters, "We had to have a man who knew the single wing." Hill asked Chrysler, who recommended Sihamel. Based on that, Hill hired Sihamel sight unseen. The L.A. Times wrote about him bringing Michigan's fullback spinner and other hocus-pocus plays with him. It's a really interesting article that I read a few years ago from the L.A. Times. He served as USC's backfield coach from 53 to 56. In January 1956, San Diego State attempted to snag Sihamel from USC, offering him a head coaching position and faculty status, but he actually decided to stay at USC for 1956, and then he retired. In February 1957, Don Clark was hired as USC's new head coach. 1 week later, that is when Sihamel announced his retirement from coaching. He then went into the private sector. He passed away May 24th, 2012, at the age of 91 in Dana Point, California. We are 89 George Sihamel days away until the start of the Michigan football season. We are also 89 Dick Riffenberg days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Dick was born August 21st, 1926 in Petoskey. Excuse me. He was raised in Kalamazoo before moving to Saginaw before high school. He came to us out of Saginaw Arthur Hill High School and arrived on campus in 1946. It was a varsity Wolverine 47, 48, and 49. He was an end about 6'3", about 195 pounds. He was a two-time national champion along with his coach, obviously, who I was just talking about, George Sihamel. Dick Riffenberg, of course, wearing the 89 that his coach or one of his coaches had previously worn. Sihamel then went on to play professionally in Buffalo. He met his wife, the former Jane Morris, who was the head of the Buffalo Jills when they met. Dick Riffenberg passed away in Western New York on December 5th, 1994. We are 89 Dick Riffenberg, 89 George Sihamel days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And there are a couple of members of the Michigan football roster that wear the number 89. And in fact, last week we were here on Friday was 92, and we talked about Ike Iwana. There were no 91s. There were no 90s. So no missed numbers over the weekend. And we jump right into number 89, a sophomore, 6'5", 289-pound defensive lineman from the Loomis Chaffee School, but also from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'm talking about Alessandro Lorenzetti. So he was a three-star prospect out of the state of Connecticut, which is where his high school is. The Loomis Chaffee School is in Connecticut. He was the number one player in the state of Connecticut, but he was number 647 player nationally in the 247 composite rankings when he came out of high school. But he actually was, he transferred to a high school in Quebec during the COVID season and then came to Michigan in 2022. And he did not play for the Wolverines as a freshman in 2022. He was an offensive player of the week as a scout team member, sort of scout team offensive player of the week leading up to the Michigan State game. But he has actually, in fact, since switched to defensive line. So he went from the defensive line to bolster Michigan's strength there. And we'll see what he does beyond the scout team, maybe some special teams. We'll see what contributions we get from number 89, Alessandro Lorenzetti, defensive lineman for the Maize and Blue. We are 89 Alessandro Lorenzetti days away until the start of the Michigan football season.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
We are also 89 A.J. Barner days away until the start of the Michigan football season. A.J. Barner is a 6'6" senior tight end out of Aurora, Ohio. And, of course, he came to us out of Indiana. So he was went to Indiana, was there as a freshman in 2020, played 8 games as a freshman, mainly on special teams during the COVID season in 2020. In 2021, he played in 12 games with one start, had 14 passes, 162 catches, and a touchdown in that season for the, his touchdown was a 76-yard touchdown catch in his sophomore year of 2021. Last year, as a junior, played 10 games, started 8 of them, had 28 catches for 199 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was a captain for Indiana, and now he is a member of the Michigan football team, and they're really excited about what he brings to the Michigan football team when it comes to the tight end position. Because obviously we know the Wolverines really like to use tight ends. We've talked about them a lot here on the show over the course of many years because we know of, and obviously recently we've talked a lot about it because of Colson Loveland. You heard him recently behind the uniform. He's going to be joining us, of course, up at Wolverine Weekend. And we'll get to him much later on in the countdown. But with Colson Loveland and Matthew Hibner, there's a little bit of experience, obviously, with Hibner, but a lot of experience now from sophomore Colson Loveland. But looking to bolster the ranks of that position, A.J. Barner brings a lot of experience. And I know they're really excited about what he can bring, along with Max Bredesen and a few of these other guys, to have a really deep tight end room. And not just deep, but versatile, right? Have the ability to do a few different things. And be a tight end room that this offense needs, because obviously you've got to be really good blockers and you've got to be able to get out and make some plays and help move the chains, maybe put some points on the board as well. They've got some really young, talented players like Zach Marshall, the freshman tight end, who has an opportunity to to make some noise for the Wolverines. And we'll see who else can contribute as well. But AJ Barta, the transfer, from Indiana, expecting really good leadership from him. Something that he and both and his former teammate and now again current teammate Jack Tuttle both bring from Indiana. Really good leadership, strong skill set as well, and really excited about his addition to the tight end room. What he can do along with Colson Loveland and some of those other guys at the tight end position should be a pretty fun year for the Maize and Blue offensively and in particular at that position. So excited about that. We are 89 AJ Barner, 89 Alessandro Lorenzetti, 89 Dick Riffenberg, 89 George Seihammel days away until a noon kickoff on September 2nd at Michigan Stadium against East Carolina. The football season is 89 days away. Obviously, a lot more of the Michigan Insider to get to, including a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to the recruiting roundup at around 7:45. Unfortunately, no Scott Bell this morning. He is under the weather. They're going through something in the Bell household, and he is the latest to pick it up. So no Scott Bell this morning, but looking forward to a really fun Monday morning of the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.